Thank you very, very much. I'm really feeling very welcomed by you or among you. Would you mind just at the beginning to send some greetings to the church in Hradec Králové? The name of the city actually means something like a fortress of the king, because it was a special wedding gift from Czech king to his queen. I think 800 years ago. So, Derek, can I ask you to take picture of me and the church? Because I don't like selfies, actually. And can you send some greetings? Is it okay?
That's it. Just wave them, folks. There we go. One more.
Thank you. I'm not doing it because I need an evidence that I'm not on holiday. I'm not that kind of a pastor, and we are not that kind of church. But I just wanted to introduce my new friends to the spiritual family back home. So that's the reason. Just briefly, short introduction in the beginning. Actually, I wanted originally to excuse or apologize because of my English, but then I realized that you can be blessed twice because of my language. First, you can grow in the fruit of the Spirit, patience. And second, you can grow in the gift of the Spirit, interpretation of the tongues. So I hope we can enjoy this morning before the face of our precious God. I'm married for 15 years. We planted a church 15 years ago, so 2001 was a great year for me or for us. And I'm father of two. I have a daughter, she's 12, so challenging time for parents. And my son is 9. His name is David, and my daughter's name is Eliška. It's a Czech form of Elizabeth. And our son is disabled. He was diagnosed with autism when he was 4. And it is interesting, we struggled with both, or we struggled with both our children, or four. We were fighting for our children during pregnancy, because my wife was seriously ill when we were waiting for Eliška. And the doctor told us she is going to be born blind or dead. So we were praying, church was praying, and Eliška is totally healthy. She is a very nice and beautiful young lady. Always when I go abroad, she transformed from teenager monster into my little princess again. So I enjoy that. And when David was born, he has some problems in his brain. But before he was born, we were thinking about a name for the boy, and the Lord told me he is a fighter, so his name will be David, because He will fight lots of battles, but he will win. So now he struggles with some areas, but he's great blessing for our family and for others around us. So it wasn't so short as I thought. Can I ask for a volunteer, maybe called Daryl or somebody? Can you come forward with a chair, please? Sit down. Okay. A confession of a pastor at the beginning. I really like to go to a barber or a hairdresser or hairstylist because I like to try new styles, even new colors, but not this time.
I remember those days.
Actually, I saw your wedding picture at my bedroom. So I know. A time ago, I went to a young gypsy guy. He is a barber. He has a barber saloon, or how would you call it?
Salon.
For gentlemen only. And this is me sitting in a barber chair, and I always wait for a question like, "And what is your job?" Because I'm pastor, so it opens great opportunity to share the gospel, to share my story, how I became a Christian and how I started my ministry. But my first reply is, "I can't tell you, because then you would hesitate to make me a cool haircut." When you hear what I do, you would be too conservative. "Don't worry, come on," replied the young man in self-confidence. But when I told him I'm a pastor in a church, I could hear a scissors drop behind me. I can't cut your hair," he stuttered. "So what's happening? Are you afraid to cut my halo?" "No," he replied, "but I know I'm a great sinner." Finally, he got going, and I could tell him my story, part of God's story, and I answered about 100 of his questions. He asked me about the Bible, about the church, and about relevance of our Sunday messages. If we as a church even care about people like him and about their needs. And he gave me some very strange questions. For instance, at the moment when he put the razor to my head, he asked, "What do you really think about gypsies?" People want to test us. They want to know what we as Christians, you Christians, have a mouth full of talking about love. So tell me honestly, what do you really think about people who they are very different from you or totally different from you. People around us, non-believers around us, wonder what is our view on Muslims, gays, atheists, single moms. I noticed that that day the barber kept me longer sitting there than usual because he really wanted to hear the answers. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Most Christians perceive sharing gospel as a duty, not fun. I should do that. But this is weak motivation. Something important is missing in our hearts. Last summer, there was a popular song in our nation. It's not easy to translate into English, but the lyrics say something like, "Your desire, as well as your heart muscle, were asleep. May it beat and throb again." The song is about resuscitation of the heart and about resurrection of desire or passion. And we can clearly see what God's heart is beating for, what God's heart is broken by. It is so intense that a historian and a doctor called Luke repeats that for three times in only one chapter of his gospel. Jesus repeats it three times in almost the same words in Luke chapter 15. It is said, maybe it's an urban legend, I don't know, but actually I know my nation, so I believe it. It is said that there is a pulpit in one of Czech churches, and inside there is a warning sign for a preacher. It's not allowed to preach on the parable of the prodigal son here because people know everything about it. So today, I would risk reading Luke chapter 15 among you or with you because I think we will discover something to resurrect our heart and to resuscitate our passion for the lost around us. So please, can we read Luke chapter 15, the whole chapter, on Sunday morning from the Bible.
The parable of the lost sheep, Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats among them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to my father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was some way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son, who was in the field, when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen.
Thank you. God reveals his heart through Bible pages, or through the pages of the Bible. Seeing the lost stirs his heart. "I can't leave it at that. All these people are too precious. Somebody has to go and bring them back home." If you ask people what they should do to get to heaven, most of them would reply, good deeds. I must not break, or I should keep the Ten Commandments. But all these three stories we've just read, or the great story of the Bible, is against such an opinion. The only thing you need to do is call for help. Lord, save me. I need you. God welcomes home everybody who is coming back. God Himself made a first step towards us. It is not enough for Him just to stay somewhere with open arms and wait. He goes for a journey like a shepherd seeking the lost sheep. Our God is restless, like the woman looking for a lost coin. He is Father running to meet His lost son. All these stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and lost son, are very similar. Something is lost, something is found, and there is always great party. Woo-hoo! Celebration of finding what's been lost. But there is striking difference. I don't know if you ever noticed that. There is striking difference between first two parables and the third one. In the first two, there is somebody who sets off to intensively look for what has been lost. Then there is a moment in the third story when the son gets lost, and we automatically expect somebody is going to find him. But it doesn't happen, to our great surprise. But Jesus wants us to be surprised by that. He provokes us to think, what's going on here? Somebody should act and look for the lost brother, the lost son. Surprise number two. Jesus doesn't need to say aloud who should go. All His original listeners knew whose task it is. Not the father's, but the older brother's. Good older brother would have done that. He would have said, Daddy, my little brother must have been insane to leave home, but I'll go to find him and bring him back. I suppose he scattered all his inheritance, but it will be an honor for me to bring him back on my own expense. It was his duty, but good son, good older brother, would do that for father's joy. And for his joy, for his family joy. If you are familiar with a Hebrew culture, you can read it in between the lines. Even though the older brother knows his calling, he doesn't go anywhere. Even though the older brother knows what the father's heart longs for, the lost son, it doesn't touch his heart. Doesn't that remind you of somebody? We can speculate about some of the reasons why he didn't go. First, it can be unwillingness to leave the comfort of the father's house for such a good-for-nothing brother. comfort. We like the Father's house. We like the comfort of our church. Do you know the name Mahesh Chavda from India and then from the US? He used to serve to the Lord as a missionary. He influenced in great, powerful ways our nation. He did some healing crusades in the early 90s, and hundreds of people became Christians thanks to his ministry. I would like to read just two paragraphs from his book, Only Love Can Make a Miracle. He describes beginnings of his ministry. God spoke to me and said, I am sending you on a mission. You are going to be my ambassador of love. I like the sound of that. Before I knew, I was led to a position in a state institution for profoundly disabled. I was with children who were 30 years old, according to the calendar, but less than 2 years mentally. Many did not have any control over their toilet functions, so part of my job was cleaning up after them. Lord, you know how sensitive I am to bad smell. Please don't send me there. That wasn't spiritual prayer. It was honest prayer. It is hard to explain, but God gave me enormous love for them, for these people. God broke off little piece of his heart and put it in me. And I think this is the key for sharing gospel. God's broken heart fills something here in our heart. His brokenness for the lost becomes our brokenness for the lost people. I prayed for the children to experience God's love through me. I saw some healings as a byproduct of this prayer. And then I learned only love can make a miracle. The second reason, what we know for sure is busyness of the older brother. He shouts in his father's face in verse 29. All these years I've been slaving for you. Look how busy I am for your house, for you personally. Do you perceive yourselves as slaves in Father's house? I've been slaving for you. Are you a slave or a son? Or a daughter? Are you a slave, busy servant, or a brother and sister? He does so many things that he has no time to go and look for the young brother. We do so many things and the world around us is dying. Our response, leave me alone. I'm busy right now. I do something important. I do something spiritual. I do something in church. I do something for the Lord. My friends, one of the biggest enemies of love is busyness. One of the biggest enemies of love is busyness. Is it about your marriage? Is it about your family? Is it about the lost world around us? A missionary, Wesley L. Jewell, do you know him? Do you know the name? He wrote a couple of books about prayer and revival. Wesley L. Jewell served the Lord until the age of 96 as a missionary. And he said once, it is a spiritual crime to be calloused. It is a spiritual crime to be calloused while the world goes to hell. It is spiritual criminal to pray casually, dry-eyed, and burdenless while the world is in sin and pain. It is Christ-like for your heart to be so filled with loving compassion that you pray with tears for those broken, fettered, and destroyed by sin. It's a spiritual crime, and I don't share this because I want to blame you or I want make you feel guilty. Guilt is short-term and weak motivation. I just want to reveal God's heart for the lost and for you personally, His love. It's in the Bible. The father replies to all thoughts of his older son, saying, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. You are not a slave. You are my son, and everything I have is yours. Look how I love you and how important you are for me. I am always with you. My presence is with you, always. Everything I have, everything is yours." God wants our faith is contagious, or to be contagious, but we can share only what we have. You can share only what you have. So first, you really have to receive God's love for you. And then you can spread it like an infection, heavenly infection. You will never understand how much God cares about the lost until you accept how much He cares and loves you. You know, there is another brother, third brother in the parable. You can easily overlook him, even he's there since the beginning. Is the oldest brother, the storyteller, Jesus Christ. He is there as a role model or prototype of the older brother we all need. He left heaven to find you and me. He brought us back home to the Father's house. And He did it for His own expense. He paid everything. It cost Him everything to do that. And when you hear Jesus paid it all, it's not an old-fashioned Christian phrase. It's not a cliche. It's a proof of God's love for you. It's a proof how God cares about you and the lost. Everything I have is yours. Everything, even my heart, says the Lord. Everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The last verse shows that what God wants the most is to share his heart for the lost with you. His broken heart, the peace of his heart in your heart. It's in my heart to care about spiritually dead people. I want them live. It's in my heart care about the lost. I want them to be found. God wants his affairs becomes our personal affairs. Maybe now you are realizing you don't care, that your passion for the lost has burned out. If you want to wake up your love and resuscitate your heart muscle, if you want your heart to beat for what God's heart is beating, here is a simple but dangerous prayer. God, break me. Break my pride, break my ego, break my selfishness. Lord, break me. I can be filled up with your love, with your heart. Prayer like this leaves more space for God to make us more Christ-like, to make us more like our older brother from heaven is. Last thought. Everybody likes that when preacher says that. Last thought. And I really mean it is the last thought. All three parables have something else in common. If something is lost, it leaves an empty space behind it. It's obvious the most in the story of the lost son. Just imagine, every meal the father and the older brother had together, they had to look at the younger brother's empty chair. Every breakfast, every lunch, every dinner, there was an empty chair shouting, somebody is missing here. And somebody needs to do something with it. And although here are this morning lots of you can see some empty chairs. All these empty chairs are booked for your younger brothers and younger sisters who are still lost. And it is your calling for your father's joy to go out and bring them back home. Every empty chair here shouts, somebody is missing here this morning. And it can change in a week, in a couple of days. This is not about guilt. This is about the Father's love. Get a hold of it and go to the world in its name, in the name of Father's love. Because only love can make a miracle.